Hello and welcome to The New Guys. I'm your host, Gabe S. Dunn, joined today by my co-host, River Butcher.
That's right, I'm also here.
Do we have to say that, am I a co-host and you're a co-host, or are we both hosts?
Well, I'm into non-hierarchical, so both of those things are right, because you just said you're a host, I'm a host, you're a co-host, I'm a co-host. As long as it's not I'm a host and you're a co-host, that's not how it goes.
I'm sort of the Conan O'Brien and you're the Andy Richter.
No.
If anything,
hierarchy.
It's the opposite.
If anything, you're the Gabe Dunn to my River Butcher. That's
all. Hey. Well, this is a show about a lot of stuff, gender, sports, whatever, by a couple trans guys.
Yeah.
And I was hanging out with...
It's about life.
It's about life. I was hanging out with Harrison Brown yesterday, former guest Harrison Brown.
Yes.
And we said, I said, this is not a sports podcast.
Yeah, it's not a sports podcast. It's not solely a sports podcast, though.
Yep.
Even though I keep trying to make it one.
Well, you're doing an okay job.
I'm doing an all right job. They just, MLB The Show just added the ability to play as women in Major League Baseball. And I am like, look, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, first and foremost. Second of all, I'm just like, wow. Like, I was immediately cynical because that's how the times are right now. And I'm also mildly under the weather and going through all kinds of my own stuff. But then after I watched it and was like, I was just like, wow, this is kind of incredible. And then immediately was like, all right, now, you know, women in Major League Baseball, actually in the real world, but it's also just cool to have that ability. Like, look, it's something, you know, and I'm not settling for that, but I'm also not going to not enjoy it. I can't believe it.
I was
wild.
My next question was like, okay, so let women play in the league then.
Yeah, I know, but that is like this whole other... That's a whole other episode. Maybe we can do an episode about it. But yes. I mean, it's more complicated than that. And it's also absolutely that simple. Like, it's both things at the same time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
100%.
That's why we're here.
But I also see them, the video game thing is like, perhaps even the powers that be, are like, well, this is good enough. Like, but once people start experiencing that, they're going to be like, well, why is this not just happening? You know, like, once you see it, You will believe, and everything that's going on with like NCAA women's basketball and just like and all that's that people are like, oh wait, this is good. And it's like, yeah, duh. We've all been saying that for like years. Like, sports are good.
I took Harrison to a West Hollywood bar called High Tops in the hopes of exposing him to the queer, I don't think they're really sports bars, sports themed. They do play sports sometimes. What qualifies as a sports bar?
I
brought him there and he was like, wow, I've never seen so many gay bars in a row on a street.
Well, you were in West Hollywood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Toronto has a street like that, but not.
Yeah, but I don't. It's not as big.
Yeah, it's not as big.
it's Toronto size. No offense to Toronto. It's just not Los Angeles size. Well, that's cool. Yeah, you guys texted me and said you were looking for a husband for me. Did you not inform Harrison that I am straight now?
Well, I said, I know, and I am being pushy.
Saddest news.
But I did say, I was like, I don't know. I feel like we could maybe find the one.
Maybe. I did contemplate that afterwards. Instead of sending the text, it was like, look, I'm straight. Because I don't want to be that straight about it. But I was like, well, that could be interesting. You know, I was like projecting my life into like, you know, living with a man. Kind of interesting. I've lived with men before. I wasn't sleeping with them, though. But
yeah.
Well, I don't know. We would probably watch baseball together.
Right. We were at a sports bar. We were like, if he's here, he's here.
That's where he's at, if he's anywhere.
We're going to start getting people writing in being like, here's my resume to be River's husband.
Yeah, I'm just in my like hetero era. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. I hesitate to even use those words because it's like, but it's like, you know, it's a horseshoe. I'm still queer.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to take that away. I'm still like a queer person, you know? And like, I was thinking about this, Gabe, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on this.
Ooh.
Right? Is that like, and this is for me, I'm not trying to put out some whatever methodology that we now all have to use or something, but I was just thinking how much for me, the polls, not binary, of girl and boy feel so much more accurate than men and women. Like, you know what I mean? Like a girly boy and a boyish girl, like all that and everything sort of in between boy and girl is like so much more accurate. And it feels to me like there's so much more, even to like quote unquote normies, you know, like non-queer people, that like there's just like a lot more space in being a boy and in being a girl. Like there's just like, we just sort of naturally allow more, even though there's like a crazy right wing thing against that right now. But still, I just think as human beings, we like allow a lot more into those two sort of categories.
It feels more playful. And you do hear, right? You do hear more like girlish boy or girly, even like the use of the term girly for like gay men, or like somebody can be a girly and not be a girl. Yes. Or somebody can be a like okay boy and like not be a boy. And like the ways in which, you know, we call celebrity men baby girl, like I think there's like a girl, and then celebrity women are like mother or father. Like I feel like there's like this thing that is getting played with now that is more, it's more playful and more bendy, gender bendy for boy and girl than it is for like man and woman.
That's right. Well, what's going on for you, Gabe?
What is going on? Just like working on the movie. We're shooting at end of April, so that's exciting. Pulling all of that together is very stressful.
Cool.
I'm thinking a lot about how I spend my time and what I want out of relationships and dating and what that looks like, and if that needs to be like something that I'm thinking about so often. Like at 35, does it really matter? Am I gonna if I get married, if I don't, who cares? So just little thoughts.
Yeah, just tiny thoughts. Also, you know, I'm 41 and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I cared so hard for like a month and then I was like, oh, there's so much more to life than all this.
Right.
Than that, you know?
Right.
That I'm just like, I'm missing out on a lot of my life concentrating and focusing on stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
And so it's been really like liberating in the past, like, I don't know, month or so to be like, oh, I'm not going to. I wish I could remember this. And I don't know if I haven't watched his special, but John Early had this incredible bit that he did a couple years ago about like how that like once you stop looking, like he'll come along or whatever. This just like incredible John Early bit of like, well, what am I supposed to do? And then of course he tells this fantastical John Early tale of like all the things he's gonna do, like building sculptures out of guitars, and then he's like, you know, but it's also true. It's like as soon as you stop trying to make something happen, then you allow the universe or something, you know, whatever you want to believe in or not believe in, but you still allow for something other than you to try to make it happen.
I think so. I mean, I do think that if you really want a partner, you have to like be on the apps and like be specific and do all that stuff. If that's super important to you to have a partner in a very specific way, like Allison, my co-host on JBO, always talks about dating as like a job, like looking like a job interview, like looking to fill a. Listen, she's the straightest.
Work.
She's the straightest girl of all time. So, that's her thing. But hey, it worked for her. I have spent so much of my life being like, I need to look for love. Love is the thing. I need to find someone whose life I love and I love them, and then just go hard into burying myself in their life and absolutely
dependence.
Yeah. Be in their life and be their friend, make their friends my friends, make their family my family. Not even make, like, the other person wants that from me. And I'm like, great.
And then have you gotten that?
Yeah, but conditionally.
And then you don't like it. Well, yeah, because there's no, I mean.
Right. It's conditional to my behavior. So, which is not to say that like your behavior isn't like, you know, obviously you can't like be a complete jerk and expect everyone to let you get away with it. But it is the thing of like other people's families being like, your family. And then the minute that I do, you know, we're not working out or something, it's like, fuck you forever, which is fine. But it's, you know, you have to realize then that. Well, you have to realize, like, I have to realize that it's like I'm looking for a facade.
Well, yeah, because you can't. That's the thing, is like you can't demand those things,
right?
You know, from somebody, because it will always be conditional. Because in a way, when you're going into it like demanding and needing all those things, you have conditions.
And like, when somebody,
you know what I mean,
wants
those are
that,
your conditions.
Yeah, and when someone wants that from me, I'm like, I could do that totally. Erase myself completely. Absolutely, would love to. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have some listener mail. If
well,
you'd like to
are,
get to it,
you know. Yeah, let's get to it.
Okay.
Because I'm standing in a closet recording this. I don't know how long I can stand on these footsies, you know what I mean? And there's definitely like a joke in there about the fact that I'm in my hetero era and I'm standing in a closet recording this trans podcast.
Everything we do is truly a joke on itself.
It super is. Also, hey, just real quick, I wanted to throw it before. I don't know if the listener mail pertains to this. So I want to make sure that I throw it out there. We talked about dying beards, right? Like I talked about it, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, great. So somebody in Chicago that came to see me asked about it, and I was like, you got to try it. And they like went out and bought everything. So I can't wait to find out. And I would love to hear from people if anybody's trying it. And also, I started my like minoxidil finasteride journey, so I can't wait to see how hairy I am in about 2 to 3 months.
Your beard looks great.
Thanks. I got it trimmed up, so it's not as crazy, but it is like legit. I have like the tiniest little bit of a soul patch happening. It's crazy.
You're dying it, right?
I'm dying it, but like it's also come in, you know, like when it wears out, it's still like legit, you know. It's like the hair is there.
It looks great.
Thank you.
Damn. And also, be careful of the finasteride. Be aware of how it's making you feel, because it can cause depression. Just a FYI to everyone.
Good to know. I mean, I'm feeling great. I've only been taking it for 4 days. So
yeah, Alex had a lot of issues. So just a FYI to everyone. He's on an anti-finasteride crusade, actually.
Okay.
But just be careful, because it does have very, very bad side effects to your mental health, so just be aware.
It can. My doctor, I did talk to my doctor about it, and she said it's like less than 1% of people.
Okay. Well,
that it happens to. So just to say, because we're also not doctors, so.
I just care about you. I don't want this to happen
to
you.
I appreciate it, but there's other people listening.
Okay, yeah. You're right.
That is, so I don't want to be like, hey, this thing does this.
You're
where
right.
It's like,
I'm not a doctor.
It does, but only to, you know, about 1% of the population that takes it, so.
I will say, though, I got told that the certain type of testosterone I was on is only allergic to like 1% of people. Don't worry. And then me and Alex were both allergic.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, there's a lot of people on this planet.
That is true.
So 1% is a big number.
That is true. Okay. So this is from Miles. I'm just Ken plus not this shit again.
Okay.
A poem.
Great.
Dear Gabe. Wow. Dear Gabe. Oh, I guess because
right.
I read the emails.
Okay. So.
Dear Gabe, Just Between Us was an integral part of accepting myself as a lesbian when I was a teenager. Now that I'm older, I'm starting to realize I'm transmasc. Then suddenly I get a JBU upload in my YouTube subscriptions that you're making a T4T romance movie. It seems too convenient to be true. I just had this realization when I watched the Barbie movie. I thought that all women hated being women because of the patriarchy. The Barbie movie made me realize that the reasons I hate being a woman are different than the reasons other people hate being women. Moreover, I could relate a lot to Ken and his struggle to find respect and comfort in his masculinity.
Oh, boy.
I remember the way I felt as a young person dealing with my sexual orientation and how Republicans made LGB people and gay marriage into this big boogeyman that was going to destroy society. I remember my mom saying to me, I'm glad none of my kids are gay. And now she says, at least you're not transgender. I remember the pain and shame I felt back then, and I can feel all those feelings again a second time in a different way. I'm tired. I don't want to come out again. I think to myself, not this shit again, when I have these thoughts and feelings. Thanks for reading, Miles. Well, can I just say...
Well, it's only to you, Gabe, so...
Oh, God.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, I relate to this a lot because I
yes.
also thought that people hated being women because of the patriarchy. Like, I very much felt that way. Like, I didn't really relate to America Ferrera's speech in Barbie because... I started to realize, like, I understand it's important, but I just didn't relate to it. And I think I started to understand probably around like 2020, 2019 that I didn't like being a woman for reasons other than what I thought was like our lot in life that we were all imprisoned into by the patriarchy. Like, I started asking women, like, do you think about being a woman? Do you like being a woman? Is this something that you're actively in conflict with all the time? Like, you know, I had to like ask other women, quote unquote, like how they felt about womanhood in order for me to be like, oh no, mine's not regular.
Well, yeah, I feel like I've said it on here. I asked my friend, a cisgender woman, I was like, wait, you don't think about standing to pee all the time?
Right.
And she was like, no, I never do. And I was like, that's interesting. So to me, that's like a little less loaded version of the thing we're talking about. But like, I definitely had to investigate and still continue to investigate and untangle internalized misogyny. Because like, that's the thing is like, I guess I would just push back a tiny bit. And also, this is Miles's experience. So I'm not trying to deny that. But it's like, I don't know that, well, saying hating being a woman is a little intense.
Okay, go on.
You know, it's just a little intense. And so it's just like even like taking a second with that, it's like, you know, cis women, they don't hate being women. They don't like the way that women are treated because they're women.
Yes.
You know, and like, I would also argue, like, I kind of blacked out when that America Ferrera speech started, because I was like, This is like white liberal feminism. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not, and I don't, like, she's also not a white woman. So yeah. Like, and she's also like, she improvised some of that. So I don't want to take that away from her either. But just that, to me, it's like, feminism is not simply about women. Like, feminism is about like not being discriminated or treated differently based on your gender, mm-hmm. whatever that gender is, mm-hmm. you know, or based on what your body is, you mm-hmm. know what I mean, to society. Like, yeah. So I think it's just like important to get into that stuff. At least that's what has helped me to untangle my own shit, you know? And like, I think trans guys, trans mask people, I think it's especially hard for us to find ourselves because we come from this crew of people who are awash in this, and rightly so.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. We're like all upset. We've been treated poorly. And then it's like, well, I don't want to be that thing. And then you get told, well, it's because you hate women. And it's like, I don't hate women. I just am not a woman.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with being a woman.
Right.
Like, just because it's not simply that I don't want to be a woman. It's that I am not. And because I'm not, I don't want to be.
Right.
You
right,
know,
right.
It's like, it's not like, I think women are so blah, 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 whatever. But there's internalized misogyny in there because everybody's got it. You know, I'm not free from it. So anyway, I don't know. I'm just like,
no, I agree with you. I think
I don't think this person's wrong or anything.
Yeah.
And I get it's sort of like, this is my experience. And I'm sure there was a time for absolutely. And it will happen again. And it has happened more recently than I probably think or whatever, that like, you know, quote unquote, hating women. But I don't know. And I guess, you know, the coming out again. My personal experience is I don't really feel like I came out as trans. I just had a new understanding of myself. And when I came out, like I subscribe to the Harvey Milk thing where it's like the closets were smashed. Like, they started it. That era, that generation started it. And mm-hmm. so like my closet was different because of them. So when I came out, I smashed that closet, so there's no closet to come out of.
Yeah.
I've not been in the closet about my transness. I've been confused because of society, you know? And that society includes queer people.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like your mom, Miles, is just worried about your safety, which is this type of homophobia and transphobia that comes out from parents sometimes, or parental figures, where they say, I'm just so glad you're not gay because I don't want anything bad to happen to you, which is a so very shitty. Narrow idea, or like, I just want you to be happy, or there's no way you could find love like this. I don't want you to have a harder life. instead of sort of taking in like, what part do I have in life for those types of people being yeah. harder?
Or also just like, am I making someone's life hard by telling the thing I'm currently saying?
Exactly.
You know, because a parent of mine has said that to me and I'm just like, well, what?
Yeah.
What?
Right, you're giving it's me wild. The message, the kid, the message that this is a bad thing that's happened to me.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, at least you're not trans, I think is also a similar thing of like, oh my God, things are getting so bad for trans people. Thank God you're not trans. But this is nothing that you have to feel shame over. This is
not
someone else's shit. This is
it's
not
someone,
you.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. First of all, I'm sorry that that's happening.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry that that's your situation. And like I know it's so hard to, I stand here as a 41-year-old adult who can now actually, who has done like, look, this is not patting myself on the back. I've done a lot of work.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of work, like internal work, and I continue to. I'm not praising myself. It's just simply going like, oh, wow, this has nothing to do with me.
Right. Exactly.
Even though this is my actual, like, It couldn't have less to do with me because mm-hmm. of all this stuff. It's like you absolutely don't know me if you think that my life is going to be worse being myself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you don't know me. And that's like, okay, you might not ever, you know, like she might not ever understand you.
I love
that. And like, we simply cannot live our lives to satisfy others. We just can't, whether it's our parents or anybody. I mean, it's like you were saying, it's the conditional thing. It's like, I have to have and cultivate unconditional love for myself. I will never get it from an outside source. I will never, ever, ever, ever get it from an outside source. I will not. I will not.
Okay, River. I can't handle this
I'm
today.
Talking to myself, dude. No, I know. I get it. I'm not saying... I'm talking about me.
No, I know. It is... It's
this is hard, a hard won realization that will continue. I'm not saying
really
like...
Hard.
I feel great. It's like... Dude, talk to me tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm just like, I just happen to have a day where I'm like, yep, that's the truth.
Yeah, it's really hard. And I think, too, this ties into your comment, Miles, about relating to Ken and the struggle to find comfort and masculinity, because I do think
and
it's
he's also so codependent.
So codependent.
He's
and
deeply
and he's,
codependent.
His sentence where he says, Ken only has a good day if Barbie smiles at him. Like, call me fucking Ken. Like, that's... That yeah. is a problem for me. And I think, too, in coming into this trans mask idea of like, now that I'm relating to men, we have to become like Mojo Dojo, Casa House men, you know? And then you're like, actually, I don't have to behave that way. But does that make me man enough? And like, it's just it's Ken's journey.
Inside job.
Certainly a trans mask journey.
It really is.
And so I think that is why a lot of us relate to him. As a character, but it is just this difficult thing that River is right. Like, you have to not let it get into internalized misogyny or misogyny in general, which I currently struggle with for sure.
Yeah. And I would say, just to offer, the only way out is through. So you cannot avoid or ignore your internalized misogyny. Like,
yeah.
The only way I've been able to like have any amount of freedom from that and like, liberate myself from that, and it's continued, it doesn't end, is to go, I'm a misogynist. Like, it's the same stuff we've talked about before.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm racist. Oh, I'm all these things.
Yeah.
Unless I'm willing to admit to myself and usually another person that that's what's going on for me.
Yeah.
And trying to act like I'm not any of these things.
Yeah.
I'm never gonna move through any of it.
Right.
Like, pretending that I know everything and that I'm not this and there's no racist bone in my, it's like there's absolutely tons of racist bones in my body.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean I'm like, you know, in the KKK, but also there's a KKK guy in me because I'm here like everybody else. We're lying to ourselves if we pretend that we don't have that inside of ourselves.
Yeah.
So the only way out of the misogyny, and I feel like the only way to truly accept ourselves as trans is through that, is through the acceptance and understanding of, oh, what's misogyny and what is my transness?
Yeah. Yeah.
And just beginning to do that, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot less misogyny and a lot more transness. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Things I thought I was like, oh, God, this is just internalized misogyny. I was like, oh, no, this is oh no, I'm a man.
Yes.
I want to stand up to pee because I'm a dude.
Yes. So it's hard to parse that out, but you're starting the journey, Miles. I can hear it.
Yeah, and just find people in your life who are probably not your mom that are supportive of you.
End
you
know? Of sentence. Find people in your life that are probably yeah. not your mom, period.
Because, like, you just never know what the journey is with those family members. Like, life yeah. is long. It's also hella short. So, like, don't waste your time, and they'll come back if it's meant to be. You yeah. know? Like, it just is. It's true.
Okay, I'm going to read our new, we got 4 new Apple Podcast reviews. So I'm going to read those and then I'll go into another listener question, shorter ones that are a bit funny. Is that okay?
Great. Yeah, okay. That sounds good.
So this is from Jay DeNola. Really enjoying the show. 5 stars. Well done show with great hosts. River and Gabe have good chemistry and the structure flows really nicely. I'm a cis queer woman, but a lot of what they say really resonates with me. Yay for all the different podcasts we've been getting from great diverse hosts. Oh, they think we have good chemistry. That's nice.
I like that.
Okay, this is from 5 stars from Octopus Doc, which I gotta think is a reference to Doc Ock, our trans Spider-Man's nemesis.
Okay.
Awesome pod. I'm a huge fan of Rivers in any circumstance. And this pod nice. Is no different. So funny and also heartfelt, smart, and inspiring.
Aww.
Well, I loved that one.
Yeah, this is for you.
That was my favorite one so far.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, then this
is. I'm a double
from...
Leo. Give me a break. I'm making a joke.
This is from Tannen. I love this podcast. I learn something every time I listen to this podcast. Gabe and River are terrific hosts.
Yay.
And then this person is Twitterless Toby, and they have problems with my audio. And let me just say, Twitterless Toby, we're working on it and we're fixing it. And it, once the audio is good for 2 full episodes on my end, delete your review.
Yeah. I'll Gabe give is a little new chances. To podcasting, so it's taking him a little while to get onto.
All right, enough. Okay. This is a message from Will. Always love listening in on the pod every time there's a new one. There are very few trans male podcasts. Oh, I want to step in and say that I found a new one called Stealth, which you guys should listen to. Anyway, okay.
I did see that one.
You guys mentioned a trans health event happening in Florida, and I was wondering if you guys knew there's a do not travel advisory in effect in that state due to the sheer number of anti-trans laws. And then Will asks us to look into Erin in the Morning, which is a trans woman who reports on trans issues. And she created a trans risk assessment map, which I'll put in the link, but it's on Erin's Substack. And so, yeah, there's a trans assessment map for where you can travel in the U.S., which is pretty wild that we need that.
Yeah, can I give my personal opinion on those things?
Yeah, please.
I feel a little bit like they ring alarm bells and they scare people, and I don't...
Do you feel it punishes the rural queers in that area to be like, hey, don't come here? I feel like that a little...
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, I don't know. I don't like it. I'm just going to be very honest and blunt about it. And yeah. like, I'm not trying to point fingers at people that are doing it. I just think it does. I think it does exactly what these laws are trying to do, which is I'm not saying go to Florida, have a, you know, whatever. I'm not saying like ignore what's going on. That's not what I'm saying. But I just think it's like, I think it's like really amping people up. And I think it like, I think it just does as much harm as it does good. You know what I mean? Like, I to, like, scare people and keep us in this constant state of fear, which, again, I'm not saying, like, oh, I'm going to go to Florida and just hang out for a month or move there or something, you know? Like, I'm not saying there is not risk, you know? But I'm like, well, where is, because the thing I think of is, like, the Green Book, obviously, right?
Yeah.
And the Green Book is not a book of, like, hey, here's all the places you can't go. The Green Book was, hey, here's all the places you can go.
Yeah.
So within these places that are very dangerous.
Yeah.
And so I just think, like, I think we as people, trans people, queer people, and all the people that love us, and I was sort of told this in some way, you know, I talked to Lee Finke about it in Minneapolis, of, like, we need to also be talking about joy and love and mm-hmm. possibility. Because, like, that kind of stuff scares the shit out of our trans kids and our, you know, just as mm-hmm. much as these laws and the things that are happening.
Well, I wonder if it allows us to do a similar thing as we Democrats do with red states, is to write it off. Like, oh, let's just not go to Florida. Let's just write it off. Whatever. Now this state is gone. Now this state is gone. And it's like, no, wait a minute. I'm not saying this is what Aaron's doing at all.
No, I'm not trying to say that either. But I think that's what I'm trying to say is that it's. And you can't boycott a state. That's like not how it works. Like, we've kind of confused what boycotting is and how it's effective, you know, like, so when the NCAA doesn't go to a state because it's implementing discriminatory laws, that makes a difference. That makes a government go, ugh, we maybe can't do this because look at all these jobs we're losing for our constituents.
Yeah.
But me, River, even not like I'm a comedian, like whatever, me not going to Florida doesn't matter to Florida.
Right.
Like, Florida doesn't care if I don't go.
Right.
You know? And so it's winning. It's doing what it's trying to do, which is scare me into thinking I can't go there and be in community with the people who live there.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say there's just as much of a risk in Florida now for a measles outbreak. Like, there's a measles outbreak in Disneyland, you know? So, like, all of this stuff is beginning to collapse on top of itself.
I know.
You know? So, like, anyway, I'm not trying to be dismissive. Like, I know there is a risk. I do think these things are important to discuss as a community. But I'm like, dude, every single state in this country is a risk for me as a trans person to go to.
Yeah.
That's just the truth.
Yeah. So I'm curious.
And so, like, if I'm constantly scared about it and going, you know, like, what is that doing? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very open to hearing what our listeners have to think about this, or what they've used this for, or what they think about it, how it affects travel. Like, anything you guys want to say about that, I'm very curious.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are. And I get it. I don't have kids. I'm a single person, like, sure, all this stuff. So I'm not trying to be, again, dismissive. I guess I just try to keep an open mind mm-hmm. and not dismiss, like, the danger, but mm-hmm. also not be completely, like, beholden to it, that mm-hmm. that it has, like, a hold on me in my day-to-day life.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's another, like, comment, question, concern. And then the last two are silly. So this is interesting. And I have an idea for this as well. So this is from Ash, if you can believe. okay. Hi, River and Gabe. First off, I'm a big fan and longtime listener of the pod. I wanted to start on a positive note before sharing something that disturbed me from the latest episode. Now, this is not about us. This has to do with ad spots, and I'm gonna respond. I'm not sure how your ad spots work, but the final ad played at the end of episode 20 was a pro NYPD cop recruitment ad. It was jarring to hear, as I know you have both been vocal with your abolitionist policies to date. The ads are location-based, blah, blah, blah. This is what Ash says. Not even endorsed or chosen by the host, but I wanted to inform y'all. I've attached a screen recording of the ad. Oh, Ash, we believe you. Yeah, I welcome your thoughts and feedback on how to ensure that the abusive pigs of the NYPD don't receive any more support or airtime from the very same queer and trans people they falsely claim to protect and serve. That sentence alone, God, I was like, look, I said we're going to read all of our mail. Thank you for taking the time to read this email. Sincerely, Ash.
Yeah, thanks for your approach. I appreciate the assumption of goodwill on our
part. So funny.
Like, literally, like, I'm just like, thank you for the assumption of goodwill here. Like, that we didn't somehow do that. Like, we would have done that. Oh, that sucks.
So here's the thing. I turned on ads for us, like, just random ads to let us make some money. I'm not sure that the ad portion of it is panning out as much as, and guess what? If you can believe, community, in the sense that the people that donate to the show on ko-fee/thenewguys are actually providing more for us than I think the ad company that I turned on.
Of course they are.
So what I think is, if I'll turn off the ads, the random ads, if one, more of you guys join the ko-fee. And two, if we can find some queer businesses that will sponsor us. I'm turning it off. I'll turn them off now.
Yeah, yeah.
They're off.
Well, and also I just want to say, to be extra super clear, because Gabe, you said to make money.
Oh,
I just want to say we simply need the money to make the podcast. Like neither one of us is profiting.
No, not at all.
So I just because we're asking for your donations, I want to be very clear that we're asking for donations to simply cover the cost of our producer, Logan.
Yep.
We are not making any money on it. In fact, we're both in the red on it.
Pretty much.
We're both paying to make it. So like we're not making money off of you guys when you donate.
That is true.
I'd be happy to make, like, if you want to donate and somebody wants like a birthday video, some sort of cameo, whatever.
River, let me do this idea that I have where people can pay us $100 and we will read their dating profile on the air.
Okay, fine. Let's do
it. And then okay, here's my idea, fans. Love, not police. So what you guys do is you write in your dating profile, and we'll do it old school, like a personals ad. Give us your, no photos, just give us your location, vague location. And then information about you with like a little fake name, like Annie Applesauce or whatever. And then do not pick Ash. I will kill you. And do not pick River and do not pick Gabe. And then I'll read it. And then if someone is interested in you, they'll respond and then we'll find you a match. So you, if you want your ad read, go on the Ko-V/thenewguys. You want to do like $50?
$50, sure.
We'll do $50. And if you give that and you write your little ad and then you email us your ad, don't write it because people will see it. Email us your ad and then we'll read your ad. And then hopefully River and I will get invited.
You'll get laid.
We'll get invited to like 400 weddings.
Or if you're not into the whole marriage thing, you'll get laid.
Oh, yes,
and
of course.
You'll think about us while you're getting laid.
And you'll think about us. So yeah. Okay, great.
Or you're laying someone else, whatever. You know what I mean?
Great. I'm so glad we worked this out.
Yeah, let's do
it. Yeah, we'll become a sports and dating podcast. Okay, this is a message from C. Do either of you have any experience with facial fillers or masculinizing surgery? I've been on T for a few years and feel like my face still looks feminine or androgynous at best. Thanks, guys. ! C.
I do not. Do you?
Oh, yeah, baby.
You got some or you just know people?
No, I got some.
Oh, you did? I didn't know that about you.
So here's the thing. When I was like, I don't know, I don't like how I look, but I don't know why. And then the spoiler alert is trans. I went and got lip filler. Like I got like under eye filler. I got all this stuff. Then I realized I was trans, but I was like, so now I have beautiful lips. But then I was like, okay. So I did like some feminizing stuff, which was kind of interesting. And I will say one clue that I felt about like realizing that I was trans was that I felt womanhood was like a silly, draggy thing. So I was like, I would joke like, oh, when I don't like how I look. And so, and I'm not saying this means you're trans, but for me, I was like, I don't like how I look. So I'm going to become a cartoon. Once I have enough money, I'm going to look like Charo. I would be like, I don't even want to look like I don't have plastic surgery. I want to look like Renee Zellweger. I want to look like I got plastic surgery. Like I was like, if I'm going to be a woman, I want to look like a real housewife. Like that was like a thing that I wanted. So I did lip filler. I did under eye. I did all this stuff because I was like, I'm going to look like the funniest idea of a woman you could possibly be.
Uh-huh.
In my head.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no, I'm trans. And then I went and I was like, well, I don't want to go on T. I was very nervous to go on T. So I just went and got like jaw filler.
Because why? Why were you nervous to go on T?
Because it was permanent and it meant I was trans and blah, 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 blah. Like fears of.
Well, I'm just curious what your reasons
were. Yeah. So I mean, it was classic sort of like committing to the idea.
I was like less afraid to go on T because to me it didn't feel that permanent. I was like, I can stop whenever I want.
Really?
You know? Well, yeah, because I started on a low dose.
Yeah, but I was like, it's going to change my voice. I'm going to have all this stuff. Like, that's going to be permanent.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I was just kind of like, I want
right.
all that. I was more scared, quote unquote, of the whole surgery thing because I was like, what if it's a mistake? And then I was like, I couldn't have been more free after that.
Yeah, I feel differently. Like, I feel like I was like, with top surgery, I was like, even if I've said on here, even if I like went back to being a woman, quote unquote, I would still be like, thank God I don't have none of these. Yeah. But
I mean, I guess I feel that way too. And it's funny that you said that because I don't know if I was just like walking, just spending time with myself, you know, and I had that thought of like, just like changing my mind. And I was like, that's so silly. like just the, it just like, and like for me, like not for anybody yeah. else, but like, just to like, it was so freeing to be like, wow, so silly, you know, like, cause I just like catch glimpses of myself sometimes, or like somebody at my gym, we're always filming each other because it's like PR week, so they're filming that, and like I don't even realize I'm in the background of somebody else's tape, you know, and then they post it and I watch the tape and I'm like, who's that dude? Oh. And it's like, and it's me, and I'm like, oh my God, that's like literally what I wanted to look like my whole freaking yeah. life. So like, I don't know, anyway, I just
had that experience too, where I was, somebody posted a video from kickball. And I was like, who is that? Like, I was like, I know everyone on our team. Who is that guy? Me. It's me.
It's you. I'm the kickball. It's me.
I'm the kickball. It's me. And so then I got this masculinizing jaw. Like, I got little filler in my jaw. And I was like, I just want my jaw to be square. I just want to be a square-jawed woman.
Oh, sure.
Sure. And I have other friends who are sort of in the throes of gender journeys, and they too have gotten like, you know, they're like, oh, I'll just be a really square jawed woman, I'll just get filler in my jaw, I'll just do a masculinizing uh-huh. jaw. Yeah. Then also I felt really bad because I think that I then had this idea that in order to look like a man, I needed this very cut jaw that not all men have. Like, it's not like men have specific jaws and like women don't. Like, I was just looking at, who was I looking at? A woman, an actress who had like a very cut jawline. Like, a lot of them, it's like, it's Rebecca not Ferguson. Gendered to have Rebecca Ferguson.
No, it's not.
It's not gendered to have like a jaw like that. So I was very, I had this wrong idea. I guess, I don't know if it's misogyny or what, but this idea that like, oh, in order to be a guy, I have to have this really like cut masculine jawline, quote unquote, that then led to me like idealizing people who had clearly had that done.
Well, I mean, I think, isn't the thing like, you should do what you want to do because it's you and not necessarily like a gender thing?
Yeah, agreed.
Not, like I said, not necessarily, yeah. You know? So it's like, oh, do I want a square jaw? Like, also, you know, fully, I'm like, I want a beard because I want to be a guy. But then like, once I got it, I was like, oh, what do I want, though?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, then you can kind of begin to slow it down and make it like more, it's like more personal, as opposed to like, oh, I need to get this to make me this or whatever.
Can I say something that has started happening? And I'm a little guy. Twice, women attempting to flirt with me have said, you know who you remind me of?
Oh, boy.
And then I say, who? And then they say, Gottmik. Who is a trans guy, drag
what women
king.
are flirting with you?
And it's cis women. I don't know if they're queer.
In West Hollywood?
Yeah. And okay. I think
that's
they,
just what's wild to me.
They only know one trans guy, I think. And they,
and it's a drag queen.
Yeah. And they like twice now, two separate occasions, they've been like flirting, like, you know who you look like? Oh my God, you look like Gottmik. No, I don't.
Yeah, you don't.
I'm just
not to me.
Also short and trans.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
I know. That would be like if somebody said, like, you know who you remind me of? Elliot Page. To me.
Right. You know, right. Like,
no, I don't. I'm just trans.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. But I think they don't know another trans person, or they, Gottmik is kind of a faggy trans guy. So sure. They're like,
well,
you know who you remind
faggy.
Me of?
You are yeah. admittedly faggy.
Yeah, I know, because they're not telling me Elliot Page, I'll tell you that.
Nobody's telling me Elliot Page, by the way. I was trying to make a joke.
No, I'm saying I don't think that I don't think I look like Gottmik, but this happened
twice. I don't think you do either. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right.
Do you think it's just cis women who like are trying to flirt with a trans guy and they don't know what to say?
Yeah, I think it's just people being like, meh, trans, and then they just like don't know what to, you know what I mean? They just can't, it really, even with the best of intentions, it's just like, You know, I don't know.
I know. I've had some weird ones. I had a guy that was very fascinated at a party on Saturday. Was it Saturday? Very fascinated by my identity as a top, and was like a cis gay guy and had a lot of questions about it.
Also a top or a bottom?
No, he's a bottom. So yeah, he was like very interested in the whole situation.
Oh, bottoms.
And he's like, I'm not asking just to ask. I'm asking because I'm interested. And I was like, no, I understood that. I got that part.
You think I don't get that?
Yeah. It's still questionable. Okay, well, there's one more, and we don't have to respond to it. It's just a silly thing about comic books again.
Okay, great. I love a silly thing about comic books.
Hi, I'm Jay, they, them, another of your trans mask listeners. Slightly behind, but caught up today. First of all, of course Peter Parker is trans. Absolutely. I have seen this meme everywhere. LOL. Wow. Okay, so we're not breaking any news here, Jay. Jay of Jay and Miles Explain the X-Men has several theories about trans X-Men, including that they all are. I don't know this podcast, but I love that this person's he's like,
great.
My theory is every single one of them. My favorite theory of his is Wolverine. So Wolverine's healing factor could easily be a way he heals his body to be more and more masculine every time he nearly dies. Also, he's short and does ridiculous things like use the word bub and chew a cigar he almost never lights. I don't know. It tracks somehow.
Yeah.
I'm sure Jay said it better, but that's the gist. Thank you for the podcast, Jay, they, them.
Thanks, Jay.
Do you feel that you are... When they said that he has a beard and he chews on a cigar, I thought, River.
River. Yeah, I'm not opposed to Wolverine vibes. I've been told that on various dating apps or whatever. So I don't know.
What
mind.
If Halloween, you're Wolverine and I'm Spider-Man?
All right, let's do it.
Yay!
I've got a tank top. That's all I need is a tank top and pants.
And little knives between
a
your
lot
fingers.
Of arm days in between then and now and then.
You commit to arm days. Yeah, I commit to becoming fantastically limber. Okay. Wait, should we screenshot?
Yeah, screenshot it. You can see my shoulders, though. Anyway.
Well, thank you so much to the listeners.
Yeah, thanks for writing in.
Viewers.
It's nice to hear from you guys that we're not just talking to each other
in a void.
Yeah, that's right.
And now, oh my God, you look like Popeye. Okay.
Thanks.
I'm going to post this picture.
Okay, great. Good.
This would be like if we had a Patreon. This would be like where that would go.
It would be. We should have a Patreon, I guess.
I'm just creating an OnlyFans for us just like screenshots.
Yeah. So I think we wanted to say on the way out, I don't have anything specific to say other than...
Let me do a bit of a lead in. So we wanted to talk about Next Benedict, who is a non-binary student who was murdered in a bathroom at their school. And it was a big story. And, you know, I think it highlighted more safety required in schools, not just for a trans and non-binary or queer students, but for bullying. I think also, like, you know, there was a lot of missteps involved in the care of students who had been beat up at school. And then the news stories post became extremely politicized over Nex's death, and so I think that really was heartbreaking for a lot of people, and not just people in Nex's immediate vicinity, but like, you know, a lot of queer and trans people already feel very under attack in a physical sense and also in a legal and lawmaker and political sense. And then I think it was just a natural reaction to how poorly this stuff is. Like, you can't make these laws and not expect this type of thing to happen. You just can't.
I'm just really sad about Next Benedict in a lot of ways. And I don't really know like what to say about it other than like, you know, like, we just shouldn't be beating each other up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even care, like, what... Well, I do care, but I just am, like, defending people ganging up on a kid in a bathroom. Like, girls. Like, these cis girls mm-hmm. beat a person enough that they died. Like, and what is the defense here? You know, and like, I don't know. I'm just really sad for them and for their parent. You know, like everything about them was like they were just a sweet person, and like also just to say like, sweet people don't deserve to die that way, and jerks don't deserve to die that way either. You know, it's just like we shouldn't have to be good to live. You know, which is like ultimately why it makes me incredibly sad when queer people are killed just for being queer, because like it's not, you know, why black people being murdered in the street by police. Like, it's all connected. And I don't really know what to do about it other than to keep like living and remembering them and treating each other with love and dignity and respect. Our culture is so violent in the systemic oppression of people. Like, the fact that there's like police presence in schools, and I mean, at the same time, I was like seeing some guy watching the news with some CNN article of like a school can tell a black child to cut their locks. Right. It's like, it's just this country is just built on the oppression of people in terms of, you know, white supremacist colonialist
that's
settler.
The other
thing, you know, like Next was Two-Spirit is an indigenous person. It's like all the things, like, you know, so I don't know. And but I will say also this, which is that I did see so many people like then outpouring from so many people of like,
yes,
about this. And so there are more people who care than don't, you know, like there just are. And so I try to hold on to that and keep looking for, you know, it's like Fred Rogers says, look for the helpers. And like, there are a lot more helpers than there's not. It's I know it's easy to feel the opposite way, but it's all connected. And I do actually think more people are the helpers than they're not right now.
And you mentioned this, I think, briefly, but I did want to mention Nex's indigenous heritage as well, which was important to them. So that is also part of it.
And I just want to say the last thing that I'll say is that I went to the global march in Los Angeles for Free Palestine. And I have to say that, you know, I've been to protests, I've been to actions. I'm not the most like involved in organizing. I try to participate as much as I possibly can. I try to do what I possibly can with what I have. But I will say that going there, I went by myself. I figured there would be people I knew there. I didn't run into anybody. I saw later that there were a lot of people there that I knew. Just because I had a mask on, other people were masked up for lots of reasons. And I bring this up in relationship to Nex Benedict, because when I got there, I had the overwhelming sense of like, oh, this is what's possible. Like, people, this is this world in this moment at this protest is what we could have. It's the world that we could have. We have it right now in this protest, which is to say people coming together in love and liberation for the end of occupation, for the end of white supremacist, colonialist, settler violence, you know, stealing land, taking land, giving land back, people together for a common interest. And people were, all we were doing was just standing there listening to what people were saying. And like, that in and of itself is pretty incredible. To have 1,000 people standing there listening. And people were moving in and out of the crowd. Everybody was like, excuse me, sorry. You know, it just was like this moment where I was like, this is what we want. And it's possible. And I have this whole story about going into the bathroom and all this stuff. But it was like just an incredible experience. So I recommend anybody go to these things and go to it with this in mind. Like, that is what we're fighting for. You know, that is liberation, to be able to be here with each other without all this. And it's possible.
And that it's all connected. So we appreciate you guys writing in and just like listening to us and, I don't know, engaging with the show and engaging in the real world as much as you can. And you know, it like River said, it feels uphill, but there are more people that care than don't, I think. So
yeah, that's true. So Free Palestine, Free Sudan, Free Congo, Free anything I don't know about, and end all occupation and white supremacist, colonialist, settler, you know.
And love to next Benedict's family that I'm sure I can't even imagine having something happen and then having it be a news story. So
absolutely.
Well, write into the show, thenewguyspodcast@gmail.com. And on an upper note, send us your dating profiles.
That's right. Well, thanks for listening,
okay,
everybody.
Love you guys.
Love you all. Take care. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. You can email us at thenewguyspodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at thenewguyspod. This podcast is edited and produced by Logan Castrodali, music by Atlas Bishop, and art by Maya Scarpa. Thank you.